Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, May the 1st, 2026, and we are continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 35, and we're reading the first paragraph, What Sort of Thinking? Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary F., the 12 Traditions, Tenzin P., and readers of the text, Jane S., Colleen M., and Tamara C. And the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, April the 30th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23419. That's 23419. And the 10 a.m. meeting, 23420. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Mary F. is going to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Lynn. My name is Mary F. I'm calling from Virginia, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Mary F. And Tenzin P. is going to read our 12 traditions. Hi, Tenzin.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never be endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tenzin P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 35, the first paragraph, What Sort of Thinking? Jane S. is going to read for us. Good morning, Jane. Welcome.
Good morning, Lynn. My name is Jane S., and I'm from New Hampshire, currently hailing from Florida, but grateful to be recovered today and of service here on this line. So here we go. What sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic who repeats time after time the desperate experiment of the first drink? Friends who have reasoned with him after a spree have brought him to the point of divorce or bankruptcy are mystified when he walks directly into a saloon. Why does he? Or of what is he thinking? So what sticks out to me is one word here is thinking. You know, it was my thinking. My thinking was so messed up prior to coming into the 12-step fellowships. And then over the years, the progression of my awareness of my thinking and then I the progression of my recovery brought me to a God that I am beginning to know more and more, and that has given me grace today. And what I looked up was what came to me in the end. Why does he, and of what is he thinking? It was my thinking I used to rely on, thinking that I had all the answers and I could do everything and I could control everything, including my food and my weight and all of that, until it just didn't work anymore. And so I had to have a shift. And so what came up to me this morning was, you know, my thinking has changed. I continue to have spiritual awakenings that have given me a shift that changes my focus from, like, what should I do? What do I need to do? I, to asking God, God, who would you have me be? What would you have me do, God? And just that simple shift and that awareness, having worked through the steps in a rigorously honest way in a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, it just brought me to a different place. My thinking is not the same. I'm living in a peace and serenity in my heart, in a recovered state of mind. So when the poop hits the fan, which it does, you know, page 417 tells us that when we are disturbed, not if, I will be disturbed. And when I am, I have to go within and look at myself as to why. And I have to get out of my head and go to my heart, because that's where God resides for me. And God has performed this amazing and continues to perform this miraculous transformation within me that allows me to think differently, react differently, react from a recovered state of mind, react from a peace and serenity that I know is there instead of that fear. And I'll end with this. I'm going through a very challenging time right now, getting ready to move a beautiful, beautiful Cadillac problem, I call them, moving from Florida back to New Hampshire for the summer to live in another beautiful place on this earth. But we have to get packed and move out and decide what we're leaving behind and what's going. And I have to turn it all over to God and just let God guide me. And in my quiet time with God this morning, I surrendered once again. I get to surrender for today, accept who I am, and seek His guidance and who He wants me to be just for today. And so I think I'll do that. So thanks for letting me share. I look forward to hearing everybody else. I'll pass.
Thank you for getting us started, Jane S. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on, Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Tamara C.
Sarah G.
Nate F. And Tina C.
Okay, so far I've got Tamara C., Sarah G., and Nick F. Who else would like to
ask? Colleen M.
Kelsey R.
Joel B.
Is that Joel B?
Joel B.
Joel.
Like Barack. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me tell you who I heard. I think I might have missed somebody. And is that Jen A?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Thanks, Lynn.
Okay. So here's who I heard. Tamara C, Sarah G, Nick F, Colleen M, Kelsey R, Joel D, and Jen A. Did I miss anybody? Nope. Okay, great. Sorry, who was that?
Melissa F.
Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. All right, here we go. Tamara C., good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the service. And thank you, Jane, for the lead share. I got a lot out of that. And I could relate to a lot of what you said. My thinking, I used to really rely on my thinking to be the solution. And I looked up the word dominates, and it means has commanding power or influence, or another meaning is exerts the supreme determining guiding influence on. So what sort of thinking dominates the compulsive eater like me who goes back to the first bite of my alcoholic food or the first step of my alcoholic eating behavior after like having it out of my system for a while and not having that physical craving activated? Why would I go back to it? And so this is setting us up to look at the thinking of examples like Jim and the Jaywalker and Fred, who went back to the first crazy behavior after being separated from it for a bit. So I look at their thinking, and ultimately I come to the conclusion after these stories that my thinking is a problem, as a part of my disease. I have no mental defense And it's so important for me to remember every day that I cannot think my way to a solution for my disease of compulsive eating. If I could, it would have happened years ago because I really tried. In spite of my best thinking, I would pick up the compulsive food behaviors after being abstinent, and then I would set off the allergy of the body all over again. And my experience is that my thinking is my problem. And that's why I need the steps, the daily evaluation of my thinking, the uncovering of the old ideas that are driving me, and the help of my higher power and others to reframe my thinking and return me to sanity. And I find in this chapter that my only defense is a higher power. And my higher power uses the steps to reach me and bring the spiritual recovery that defends me against the first bite and the craving that follows that first bite. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Tamara. And where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Missouri.
Great. Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. Next up is Sarah G., followed by Nick. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. This is Sarah G. calling from New York. So grateful to be on this line, and thank you all for being here. I the last sentence of that paragraph, what was he thinking? You know, and I turn it back to me. What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. I was so, my mind was so diseased, like, the worst things in the world could be happening, and I can't handle it because I'm not controlling it. I can't stop it. So I just medicate and medicate and medicate. And so there is no thinking. You know, I have a thinking problem when I'm in the disease. And actually, I have... I had a procedure recently that's affecting my hormones, and it's affecting my thinking and my mood, and I'm aware of it, and it's so painful. And no, my program isn't perfect, and thank you God for all, you know, for God, because I can't do it without Him, and for all of you here, and just for the people in my program, in the program who are part of my God squad, and just even the comfort, you know, just hearing the people on the line. I heard someone in the lineup who is very dear to me, and I was like, oh, you know, she's one of my program, you know, sisters. And it just, there's nothing like this to connect to God, not in perfection, because only God is perfect. Yeah, and I'm just so grateful for today, even in my pain. And I'll just want to say one more thing, that I noticed that I'm doing a certain 10 step over and over, and I need to keep on giving it back. It's not that I do a 10 step and it's just gone. I mean, I wish it could be, and sometimes it is. And just based on what I'm going through now, as long as I'm doing 10 steps and turning it over to God, that's really all that matters. With that, I pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Sarah G. from New York. Nick F., good morning. It's your turn, followed by Colleen M.
Can I be heard?
You can now, Nick. Thank you.
Hey, Lynn. This is Nikki S. in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. What this is bringing up for me is, what friends? You know, and this is letting me know that the illness is progressive, but so is recovery. You know, and by the time I'm starting back eating, I ain't got no friends. I got Ronald McDonald, and I got Colonel Sanders. I really don't see no need for nobody else. And I'm going to have to be honest, I done gave away 350 pounds before. I gained 150 pounds back because, what friends? I had the program, and the program was my God. And but I didn't know I needed a life outside of program. And this time, really, truly, this time is the first time, probably because the last relapse scared the bejesus out of me. But now I'm really trying to build a life outside of coming to 1,000 meetings in a week. I'm a meeting maker, baby. But I really have to get this thing and live this walk outside of when I hang up from this call and when I get off of Zoom. And now I do. I got maybe like one best friend, and I got a lot of other acquaintances and a lot of sisters and brothers in recovery, and I need all that. But I really am trying to get to God this time, a God of my understanding. And, you know, I was popping my collar because I was moving real fast in my step work. And I'm going to a therapist, and here's what the therapist said. She said, Nick, we're going to hold 1 minute, 1 minute. She said, baby, because you got a lot of negativity and you got a lot of old tapes. And now I'm doing some tapping. I'm looking back at these old experiences. And in my next session, we're going to talk about some stuff that I don't really even want to talk about. But I got to smash these old tapes in order for these steps to work in my life. Yes, I put the food down. Yes, I'm building friends and relationships. But I wish I had it. I'm going to have to text Rick to tell me. But he said something similar to, when I get away from myself, I get closer to God. When I get closer to God, I get closer to you. And when I get closer to you, I get closer to God. And when I get closer to God, I get away from me. You know, on this line, we say I'm one bite away, but now I'm fine and I'm one thought away. Somebody can say something that can tick me off and I'll be gone with the races in my thinking. And my thinking will tell me I don't need anybody or nobody because I'm Nick. And that's a lie. I don't want to find myself on a couch by myself. I need weapons. I need armor. I need this program. I need friends. I need my son. I need to build relationships. I am not a one-man band. I need everything God has given to me. God made the mountain. He made the oceans. He's so creative. He's such a creative genius. And I want everything that God has for me. So I got to be willing to give God everything. And I think God deals with big things. But no, God deals with grains of sugars and thoughts. And today I just want to surrender. I want to surrender my ego. I want to surrender my pride. I want to surrender my life. What happens when I hang up off this line? So I got some work to do. I got to smash some old
time.
Thank you, Lynn. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Nick F. from Tennessee. Colleen M., it's your turn, followed by Kelsey R. Hi, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service, and thanks for everybody that's doing the service today. I'm Colleen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Maryland. And, wow, what great shares. I read this paragraph this morning in anticipation of possibly sharing on it, and I would not have done it justice. So, this is a two-part disease. We have a physical allergy, and we have a mental obsession. And once the food is down, you know, it's going to be a lifetime of working on my mental obsession. You know, battlefield is in the mind. And, I have to continually be brainwashed, get my brain washed from all of the old ideas, like it's been said, and all of the self-centeredness, the negative thinking, the judgmental, whatever. But I need a higher power to help me with that. I cannot change my thinking. I can't change my thought processes. But what I can do is keep the food down, show up, work these steps with the help of other people who are recovered, and then God does this transforming work. And I have been transformed. You know, my thinking has been changed, not 100% and not all the time because I'm human. But that is why we continue to come here, and people, you know, will ask, well, you haven't eaten like this in so long. Why do you have to keep going to meetings? Because my mind, because it's broken, will convince me that I can go back to being a normal eater. And I know there's enough of us on the line who have tried that before and know that that does not happen. So I'm just so blessed to be here, so grateful for this program. I need it. I need it every day. And I appreciate all of you that are doing this deed with me and sharing. Thanks for letting me share, and have a great day.
Thank you, Colleen M. from Maryland. Kelsey R., it's your turn, followed by Joel B. Good morning, Kelsey.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Kelsey R., recovered compulsive eater in Texas. Oh, I love every paragraph. But this is definitely a good one. So the paragraph prior to this tells us that a period of abstinence is helpful, right, for us to see away from the food. I mean, even 3 days away from the food, I'm like, oh, I feel physically better. But it says they have an even greater service to offer. It's to help them understand the second part of our diagnosis, our thinking. I'll tell you what, the greatest storyteller in the world is my mind. I can craft the most insane stories. And a fellow who I love in this program taught me that God is the entity in your life that you give the most thought or attention to. I love God. I do. I really too. I could pass a lie detector test and tell you how much I love God. But my love for God cannot be based in my mind. You have to look at my feet and you have to look at my hands. Because what does the book tell me? The world doesn't judge us by our intentions. It judges us by our actions. And the book tells me that my main problem centers in my mind. And honestly, I can't even remember life without program. I came in 21 years ago, just a baby, 17 years old. And I was able to see this line of thinking in program, in and out of recovery, in and out of different sponsors, because I still thought that I didn't have to do everything that I was so selflessly taught for the long haul. I knew that I had to do it to get better. I couldn't keep doing it. I couldn't sustain it. I'm really good at getting better. But God's will for me is to get well. And here's the other part, to stay well. This book says that we can have permanent recovery. And, you know, what we're supposed to ask, what we've been asked to read every single day is on page 80, 86 through 88, right? And it tells us that we are undisciplined.
Time,
like,
please.
Discipline us. And there is a way out. And the solution is God. But I got to do the work. I got to do the work for the long haul without a pass.
Thank you, Kelsey R. from Texas. Joelle B., you're up, followed by Jen A. Good morning, Joelle.
Good morning. This is Joelle B. from Illinois, and I thank everybody, and I thank my leaders today that helped me to get through this. I have certainly given myself enough excuses. My excuses do not get me to recovery. To do all that the program tells me to do, and I think one cookie is safe. Eating in a parking lot is safe, away from people. I don't care who it is or where I am. If I go to the wrong food, I have to hide. And I'm so tired of hiding. I'm so tired of doing that. And I said, what am I thinking? You know, after I do it, then I'm thinking, what am I thinking? I'm never going to do this again. And that's the excuses that I give myself. I'm not going to do this again. You know, that's the addiction. And I really go through a phase of being who I need to be, you know, without the eating, putting down the fork, not going to buy chips for somebody else because I eat them. And I think that this program, if I do what is considered what I'm supposed to do, like the outreach calls, the steps, everything. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm trying. I really am trying. And I thank God that I have him to remind me every morning, Lord, please help me do what I need to do in order to recover. And it's fine for a while, and then I'm out with people, and I forget it. So I think the whole thing is my thinking needs to change. My thinking, absolutely. Friends wonder, you know, well, why aren't you less weight? Why are you struggling? And I said, all because of these reasons. I don't have to go through personal stuff with them, but I have to make a list and check off the list. Did I put the fork down today? It's really, really fine with my friends who have gone through certain things, and they say, oh, this is really good. You should go on this diet. You should go on that diet. I don't say a word because I know what I should do, and everybody knows it. Oh, I thank you. I thank you so much, and God bless everybody.
Thank you, Joel B. from Illinois. Jen A., good morning. It's your turn, followed by Melissa S.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for moderating today. My name is Jen A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Colorado. And more about alcoholism, more about my disease, more about why I'm going to do this again. You know, it's just a reminder. If you're thinking about picking up a fork again, or if you're having a lurking notion, read this chapter. It's always a good reminder. I'm glad we're here. And I like the line before because it tells me that the mental state that precedes relapse into drinking is the crux of the problem. So the most important point I have to remember, it's not the food. You know, I mean, I get it's a food program, and we have to put the food down entirely. You know, we have to let go of the behaviors that are dominating us. That I exercise beyond belief so that I could eat more. That was a behavior. And then what's going to need to change? It's not a food plan. It's not a sponsor. It's not a meeting. They're not going to change my thinking, and they're not going to change my mind. What's going to change my mind is when I actually start working through the 12 steps laid out in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I actually go to work and do the work. I went to meetings. I got a sponsor. My first fourth step looked like 58 pages front and back of my life story, and then I read it to her thinking that was a fifth step. That didn't help me. Why? Because my mind was still thinking and going 1,000 miles a minute how everybody has done me wrong. And I sang that song over and over in my head. And so, you know, it was like, how do I clear this obsession that's going on in my mind? Because my mind will lead me to the first bite. You know, I have a thought and then I take the action. A donut will make me feel better, you know? A gallon of ice cream will make me feel better sitting in front of a Netflix movie. No, today that's not the key. Why? Because I stopped experimenting with it and I started taking action doing other things. Sorry, the line's unmuted. I think there's somebody chatting in the background. There we go. And, I just kept experimenting. Stop experimenting with the food. Stop experimenting with meetings and sponsors, Jen. And start experimenting with the steps. Just try it. Try it once. And I did. And you know what? It's not that I got relief from my problems, but I got relief from trying to solve my own problems. Because what this chapter is telling me is I need something bigger than me. I need a power greater than myself that's going to restore me to sanity. And the only way I'm going to get to God is by giving it over to God. I have to give all these thoughts and all these upsets, all these resentments and all these fears over to him. And when I do, that's no longer dominating me. What's dominating me is the spirit and the light and the love of God that I feel inside of myself as a result of working these steps and living these steps today. There's no better way to recover than living a spiritual life connected to a power greater than myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much, Lynn.
Thank you, Jen A. from Colorado. Melissa S., good morning.
Hi, this is Melissa S. How long is this? 2 minutes?
Three minutes.
Three. Okay, fine. Thanks. I'm timing. Okay. So thanks, everyone, for the shares, and thanks for having me share. I was really intimidated by this meeting, thinking, like, it's really impossible to share. There's so many people. But I don't know if God's made it that I've been able to share enough that it's making me feel like this is my place more. I am hearing from this reading and from everyone's shares how, like, this is a mind problem. And I keep saying in all my shares, I'm an information gatherer. And I told myself a few minutes ago, don't talk about that again. Because I keep talking about that. Like, what's the point of talking about, again, an information gatherer? Like, you got to do the steps. You got to do the work. And I think part of my mind problem is I think I'm going to listen, I'm going to inspiration. And then my mind forgets this inspiration because I'm not doing the work. And I think I'm in control and I'm not turning to God as much as I should. And I almost forget about the food, or I forget about the plan. Oh, right, I'm supposed to have a plan. I'm supposed to do my food. I'm supposed to weigh my food. I'm supposed to do this. And then I forget to eat lunch, and I'm like, oh, I'll grab this. And, like, get on a plan. Be on a plan. I keep telling myself I'm committed, but then it doesn't happen. And I'm so inspired by everybody's commitment to hear and commitment to God. And I've been really thinking about what is being powerless and just giving my power over to God. I think I'm in control. And I start obsessing about so many things, not just about this program, but just so many things, thinking I'm in control. And the more I give over my will to God and let go, the more room there is for God to show me what I need to do and to be the one in charge, because really he's the only one in charge. I don't know, my mind's all over the place, and I'm just going to say to myself that I'll ask God to please help me stop just thinking about this program and start doing the action and start giving over my will so that I can live healthy. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Melissa S. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are continuing our study of the Big Book and the chapter More About Alcoholism. On page 35, the first paragraph, What Sort of Thinking? So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Christina L.
Roy C.
Anieta.
Miriam R.
Okay, I'll just tell you who I heard. Christina L., Roy C., Hannah Yetta, and Miriam R. Anybody else?
Teresa M.
Teresa?
Yeah. Dan in New York.
Sorry, who was that in New York?
Deanne F.
Deanne. All right, let's go with this lineup and we'll see how we're doing time-wise. We have Christina L., Roy C., Hannah Yetta, Miriam R., Teresa, and Deanne F. Okay, Christina L., good morning. Welcome. Christina, please press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, I think I'm here now. All right.
Yep.
Got it. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And this paragraph, when I was reading it this morning, something stood out to me that I have never seen before. What sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic who repeats blah, 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 blah? You know, when I first read that sentence, I thought that it was asking what sort of thoughts were going through my mind. But that's actually the last sentence of this paragraph. So there's kind of like a bookend of questions, a beginning and an end. And, you know, and I was thinking about what sort of thinking dominates, you know, I was curious, like what sort, I just Googled what sort of thinking, and there came up with different types of thinking. There's critical thinking, creative thinking, analytical thinking, concrete thinking, abstract thinking, divergent thinking, convergent thinking, system symphonic thinking, metacognition thinking. So it's like that first question is not asking me what I'm thinking, but it's asking me what sort of thinking I'm thinking. Which to me feels like a trap, because if I take that question literally and then start to analyze what sort of thinking am I having that's making me go back to the first bite, it's just repeating over and over and over again what I've always done. I can look at what I'm thinking, but I can't rely on what I'm thinking. I have to trust and rely on a power greater than myself that is going to restore me to sanity. Because I can think. I think it's someone who says think like Pooh Bear and stuff. And, you know, that's not going to get me anywhere. Understanding more of why I'm thinking the way I'm thinking or what sort of thinking I'm thinking is not going to change anything. I don't remember where it says it, but self-knowledge avails me nothing. Like, it's not going to change anything. I have to have a power greater than myself that will restore me to sanity. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina L. from Florida. Next up, we have Roy C., followed by Hannah Yetta R. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning. This is Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. And thanking everybody who's on the line this morning and sharing and all others out there. What kind of thinking? Well, I think that I'm seeking serenity and peace and well-being and going to compulsive foods and compulsive food behaviors can give me some kind of relief and serenity, but it's only momentary, and it doesn't last. And what really will allow me peace and serenity and the kind of being the kind of person that I wish to be is the program outlined in Overeaters Anonymous. I'm a compulsive overeater and a very sick man. I have to abide by the tenets of the program, the 9 tools of recovery, faith in a higher power, getting to this meeting in the morning and being around like-minded people that are using the program to reach serenity and peace in their lives. Because if I don't, if I go to the compulsive foods and compulsive food behaviors, for me, it's going to end in just a tragedy of unwanted behaviors. And so far this morning, I'm abstinent and I'm feeling good, and things seem to be going well for me. I thank God that I'm abstinent this moment, and I pray that I'll be abstinent in the future. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass along. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. Hannah Yetta R. from Plano, Texas. It's your turn, followed by Miriam R. Good morning, Hannah Yetta.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lynn, for your service. My name is Hannah Yetta, and I appreciate your Plano, Texas. Thank you. Yes, that's where I'm from. And so first I just want to say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm so happy to be here. I want to welcome all the newcomers, and I hope you introduce yourselves when it's time. We can welcome you, newcomers, people who have just come back, anybody that, yeah, all those guys, please let us call you. So welcome, welcome. My best thinking got me up to almost 300 pounds in and out of program. My best thinking got me 3 surgeries. My best thinking had me almost kill myself 3 times. My best thinking is very scary. Being in my head is a scary place to be, and I need to stay out of it as much as possible. And, you know, when I'm thinking in the morning and asking God to come into my life, that's not enough. I have to think about God all day long. I say, thank you, God, after everything. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Whether it's something I like or something I don't like, I'm a substitute teacher. Thank you, God, for giving me this terrible class. Thank you, God, for giving me this wonderful class. And it's not just a class. It's just a few kids usually. But anyway, but I thank God all day long. It's not enough just to thank him for getting me up in the morning. You know, it's a conscious contact. And to me, that means anytime I'm awake, I should be thanking God or talking to him or praising him or something. Because otherwise, because of that, I have food neutrality. I mean, I go in my kitchen, I cook almost all day long. I'm always cooking something, it seems like. And it just doesn't bother me. I just go in, I cook it, I do it, I do whatever I need to do. And that's it. I put it away and then I sit down. And, you know, and that's only because for me that I keep in touch with my higher power. And I welcome him into my life all day long. And so that's where we are today. That's where I am today. And so with that, I will pass. And just, I want to tell everybody, please don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. We all have a miracle. If I can do this, if it's in my life, anybody can, because I was a mess. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Hannah Yetta R. from Plano, Texas. Now we have Miriam R., followed by Teresa. Good morning, Miriam.
Hi, it's Lynn. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Miriam, compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And what's standing out today to me is what sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic who repeats time after time the desperate experiment of the first drink. And I remember in the past, before I really gave up with the food and I was still trying, it was desperate attempt after desperate attempt. And each time it was like, I think I knew deep down at a certain point, like, I can't control this anymore. But I had such a deep desire to be able to control my food that time after time again, I would just try again. And yeah, it was a desperate experiment. I think that I thought, because I had such a deep desire to stop, that maybe I could convince myself I didn't actually have this problem, and then therefore I actually wouldn't have this problem and I would be okay. And that didn't work. And being on vision and coming on this meeting and hearing all these messages, just it's like daily medicine for me to hear, like, I am prone to delusional thinking, particularly around food, body, weight, movement. And I can't trust my thinking, which is really scary, because if there's someone who has, let's say, an allergy to strawberries, and when he has these strawberries, he goes into anaphylactic shock, yet he has this, like, fixed idea in his head, he must get strawberries, he deserves it, today's the day, he had a hard day at work, it will make him feel better, and he goes out there seeking these strawberries, he's been hospitalized, you know, 20 times, that type of person would need to be locked up for his own good. And have not my own thoughts about food been pretty similar to this? Like, my own patterns have shown, like, my experiences around food and eating have been destructive and harmful to me, yet every single time I knew, it's like, oh, wow, this time is going to be different. You know, this time the food is going to, like, save me, it's going to give me comfort. And if anything, it's actually something that has caused me immense pain. And coming to this meeting and hearing everyone's messages is a really important part of my program, of having this, like, message, like, drilled in, like, day after day. It reminds me of, like, water dripping on a rock, like, constantly for days and years. It's slowly, like, starts carving through the rock. And that's the sort of, like, impression and the sort of message I need in program. I need to hear it, like, every single day. I'm prone to delusional thinking. I can't trust my thinking about anything, especially around food. And hearing other people share, it's like, yeah, I'm not in control over my thinking. That is my main problem. I mean, thank God the food is down and the emotions are up, and just, yeah, life on life's terms, and realizing, like, how sensitive I am. One person says one thing happens, and suddenly I'm like, oh my
time,
gosh, like, I'm disturbed. Thank you, Lynn. I'm grateful to be here today and to realize that if the crux of my problem is self-reliance, then the crux of my solution is God-reliance. And that I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam R. from New Jersey. And next we have Teresa, followed by Deanne. And Teresa, if you take 2 minutes, we can get Deanne in as well. So welcome, Teresa. Teresa, please press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, sorry. I guess it doesn't stay star 1. So it's Teresa F. in Washington, and I feel, I'm in the middle of that sort of thinking. So I call it thinking, and so I'm just really struggling right now with that sort of thinking, which I guess is a good reminder for all of you that are doing great and, you know, where you could be. I just know I want it. I'm sorry. I just want to get out. I want to get out of this thinking. And I just, you know, I'm up super early this morning because I couldn't sleep. So I'm very thankful that this call is here and that there is hope. I think I don't know. I probably just think too much, and I just need to do. So thank you, Teresa from Washington.
Thank you, Teresa F. from Washington. Deanne F., it's your turn, please.
Good morning, Lynn. This is Deanne F. from New York, and I am a gratefully, miraculously recovered compulsive overeater for this day. And that is by God's grace and cooperation. You know, the word that really stands out to me in this paragraph is dominate. It's what sort of thinking dominates me. And I looked up the word dominate because everybody knows, but knows me. I'm like a word nerd and I love to like know more about it. And, you know, the root of dominate is dominus, which is Lord. So what is occurring is that my higher power in that moment is my thinking. Like, this is, you know, of course I'm deluded. Like, I am dominated. I have no, you know, power, because this is, you know, other words they give for dominate is like supreme, you know, control and rule. Like, that is what is occurring. So, like, right here is where this paragraph is again telling me that I am powerless because I am being controlled by this power that is my mind. So, you know, the only thing that I can share with you guys today is that, you know, the disease is in my mind and the recovery is in my heart. So there has to be an option to the thinking. And the option to the thinking is my heart becomes open and willing to receive.
I'm pleased.
So thank you, Lynn, and thank you, guys. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Deanne F. from New York. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, Friday, May the 1st, 2026, 7 a.m. meeting, is 23422. That's 23422. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And this morning, Colleen M. is going to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for letting me do service. Sorry, I lost my place. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.